Y'all heard?
Hey everybody, this is Y'all Heard,
a podcast where me, Marissa Phillips,
and me, Pete Phillips,
and we're not related.
And this is a show for curious people who want to hear about a variety of topics out there in the world, from
food
to fetishes,
celebrities
to unsung heroes. From things you think you know to
things you didn't know you needed to know. Pete,
Marissa,
I'm about to ask you how you are, but you can intercept me if you would rather I do it first.
Mine's probably very short, so you want to go first?
Okay, I'm okay. I just came back from New York Comic Con the other day. I have like three things to say, but they're all short. One, I got a holographic comic book, which, do you remember when we were little and like, there was so much holographic shit in the comic book world. I missed it. I like had a boner looking at this holographic comic book. The guy who makes Archie comics, there's not one guy who makes Archie comics, but my favorite Archie artist had like 10 exclusive holographic comics. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Are these the cover?
Yeah, just the cover, okay. Not the whole comic.
No, I was just thinking, like, wow, that would be crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be amazing. I will say that I see his name is Daniel Parent. He makes what I consider, like the most iconic Archie art of the current time. And I see him, I've seen him, like, four times. And I see him every time I can at a convention. But you can only think of interesting things to say so often. So, like, I saw him, and then I was like, I see you any chance I get, but I have nothing interesting to say, so it's just nice to see you. And then he just started laughing. So, I think sometimes my awkwardness could be a little charming.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So, I'm hoping that's what happened this time. Two, I was running with Aaron, my husband, who is far more athletic than me.
From what?
From our lives. No, we just run around the neighborhood periodically. We were looking at a sign, and then I guess he wasn't paying attention, tripped on some uneven terrain, and fell, which was traumatizing. Because one,
is he going to sue Hershey?
No. Yeah, we would have sued a church. We were on a church's property. Oh, no, we're on the sidewalk, so I guess that's the cities, I don't know. Anyway, he fell, which was traumatizing because I would expect me to fall, not him.
Traumatizing for you.
Yeah, and okay. For him. I mean, okay. He was fine, but it was traumatizing to watch.
I didn't know which one you were primarily talking about.
No, he was okay. He got a couple cuts, but he was okay. But he kept rolling, and I go, because I was jarred. But once I found out he was okay, I couldn't stop laughing because I just, because he rolled to a slightly comical degree. Like, why are you rolling that much? And I just couldn't stop laughing, and I would stop and I would start again, and it just, I felt kind of bad.
Rolling like head over feet?
No, like.
I guess it's tumbling, right?
Yeah, the other way, like,
okay,
on the side.
Okay.
And I was just
if
like,
if he tumbled,
huh?
Like, more than twice, I'd be like, that's awesome.
That would be insane. He rolled, like, twice, but I was just like, why did you roll at all? Like, I don't know. I didn't see his fall, but
when you fall, you're supposed to roll into it. It's supposed to hurt less.
It just seemed weird. So, honestly, I was in my mind like, man, he probably, like, knows how to fall, but it looked funny. And I felt really bad. Three, the last thing about me is that I just got off the phone with my mom, and I somehow brought up the movie Long Legs, which, if you're not familiar, it's that, like, that spooky movie with Nicolas Cage where he's this, like, crazy-looking Satan worshiper. And my mother was so engaged in the plot, I had to explain the nuances of Long Legs to my mother for, like, at least 8 minutes. And she needed to know everything, and it was riveting. It was riveting to to explain the plot of Long Legs to my non-horror-loving Christian mother, and her just being like, what?
She had to turn to her Satanist daughter.
when I said, she was like, what is that movie? I was like, oh, it's a weird movie about, like, a Satan worshiper. And I thought she'd be like, ew. And she was like, tell me. What? What? Tell me.
Oh, so she hasn't seen it. Oh, I thought she had seen it already.
No, she's never seen it, but she just wanted to know every plot point. And it was great. It was great. That's it. So I'm good. Also, if you're a patron, I mean, you probably know by now, but I sent you one of my zines. But if you don't check your mail often, check your mail. I know some people that don't check their mail for like weeks. Oh, you don't check your mail. I sent you a copy of my Halloween zine. So check your mail before Halloween. And if you look at it and like my mother go, hey, you didn't give the answers to the crossword. My mother gave me all kind, but constructive feedback. If you want them, just tell me in our email.
I think that's a great way to encourage communication and engagement.
I just assumed if you cared enough, you would ask me. Because I assume most people don't care about snacks enough to really try and finish it. Mm. I felt like you know me if you care enough. But also, I just forgot. But I'm just I wasn't like, oh, I'm mortified. But I'm just like, whatever. Anyway, so I'm good for once. How are you?
I think I'm okay. I had moments when I go, oh, I should talk about that on the podcast because it's moderately interesting. And then I forget what it is. So the only thing that I took a note about was I was at my mom's for a little period of time and I had to mow the grass one last time for the season. And
I don't even mow the grass anymore.
Huh?
Does grass not grow now?
Oh, no, but it's pretty much, like, dies and then snow comes and...
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm a woman who's never cut my own grass. What a diva bitch. I know. Continue.
And leaves. So I hadn't mowed the grass since I got my new phone. And I went into my media player and I said, play all the songs. And every other song was Marissa going, hey guys, it's time for a new Gossip Grill, or hey guys, it's Marissa Reviews. And I was like, why the hell do I have all of this shit on my phone?
Ooh, that sounds like an awesome time you had.
And then I would skip it, but like I was using wireless headphones, and the ones I have, like, you can't skip with the headphone, so you have to take the whole phone out.
Yeah,
so I skip, I put the phone back in my pocket, and like a song or two later, it's you again. So,
that was fun.
That was annoying, but
it's like I was haunting you.
Yes, it's true. I tried everything while I was on the lawnmower too to try to fix it, but it just did not work until I went back and deleted every Gossip Grill and review that you've done. But I also wanted to do, to let you know that I looked today. We are 5 stars on Spotify. So thank you to the 6 people who gave us 5 stars on Spotify.
Thank you so much. If you told me we were if we become less, don't tell me, Pete.
Yeah.
Did anyone leave actual reviews or just stars? I don't care.
I don't think they have reviews. I think it's just ratings. Okay.
But that's awesome. Thank you, whoever reviewed us.
Yeah, our goal was to have as many as it took to display a rating. So thank you.
Yeah, exactly. My goal is also to not be less than 5 stars or to not be made aware of it.
Yes.
Because it will haunt me.
However, we are still 4.8 stars on iTunes, which is humbling. But any rating that you can give us that will help us get over that troll who knocked us down
that would
be appreciated.
Because again, like, if you don't like us, fine. But unless we did a topic that offended you personally, why even bother?
Yeah,
also,
and
how the fuck did you even find our podcast?
You can call us if we offended you personally.
Yeah.
It's going to be much more gratifying, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if we offend you personally, let us know and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've offended more people than I realized. That's what I find comforting
about
the fact...
Oh my god, the phones are lighting up right now.
That's what I find somewhat comforting about the fact that we're, like, not popular at all. That I don't need to really second guess what I say. Man, our listener, Mike Dominic, my dear friend, bless him, he's like, I can't believe you don't have a whole bunch of fans, like, giving you a whole bunch of money on Patreon or something. I forgot what he said, but I was like, wow, you're such a good friend.
Yeah, we have
I
like
can't
a max.
Think we're that successful.
We have like a max subscription of money coming in. Which we are grateful for.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm grateful that anyone listens, so I haven't been talking to myself for years.
Yeah.
But before Icebreaker, I just wanted to say that despite the fact that I have a Halloween flag on my house, mm-hmm. I look like I barely care about Halloween compared to every other house on my street. Someone made a haunted house that overlaps into the sidewalk, and to walk by their house, you need to go under a canopy of, like, shrouds and ghouls. Anyway, whatever.
I would also like to see you at some point, if possible, just for my own personal amusement. You know how when, like, somebody wins the Olympics and they give them the flag and they hold the flag behind themselves?
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. I will happily do that.
All right.
Icebreaker. Oh, yeah, icebreaker. If you get to choose. You either get to say date or friendship. But what iconic monster or ghoul do you wish you could either date or be friends with?
I think my heart's telling me be friends with Frankenstein.
Okay, why?
I think because all the portrayals that I've seen of him, he's sort of just like a lumbering and bumbling fool.
And that's your dream friend?
No, it's just he'd be a fun hang.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay.
And also, like, I feel like he does seem to have a heart in there somewhere. It's just a little misguided sometimes.
Yeah, I'm with you. Would you be scared, though, at all, that he might hurt you by mistake?
I'm scared of all my friends.
Okay. You know what? Good.
All of my friends could snap my neck at any moment.
Yeah, it's good that we record this remotely for them.
Yeah, I'm not thinking of. I mean, if I was friends with the Invisible Man, I would just try to like. It would be like a friendship of convenience. I would just try to use him for things. I mean, yeah, I'd date a vampire, but it probably wouldn't be my decision. And I don't know. Look, I like dogs, but I don't think I want to hang out with Wolfman.
I mean, so I don't know about like the official Universal Monsters Wolfman, but like, is Wolfman a werewolf? And by that logic, is he only a werewolf once the full moon is out, and then he's a human the rest of the time?
I'm pretty sure that would be the acceptable expectation, yeah.
Okay. But yeah.
And I don't like water enough for the creature from the Black Lagoon.
I get that. How about a mummy?
I feel like a mummy has no personality.
Oh, wait. Would you want to hang out? Would you want to date the Bride of Frankenstein?
Not if I'm friends with him.
Yeah, that's true. But the same thing doesn't have a name separate from being his bride. Yep, that's valid. Would you want to be in a polycule with Frankenstein and his bride?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Bring it on.
I was torn.
The wife of Wolfman.
Yeah, is that a thing?
Nah, it should be.
Well, it will be when I'm done with it.
The mummy's mama.
Ew. Wait, but is his mother or his woman?
You'll never know.
I would rather call it the mummy's mommy, but it's mommy like the Hispanic mommy, like M-A-M-I, like mommy, yeah.
Mummy's
like,
mamacita?
Yeah, okay, that makes it clearer. Yep, yeah, the mummy's mamacita. Speaking of, no, I probably be like, yeah, date a vampire, duh. I was Team Edward. However, I don't know that I mean, I want to be a vampire, but I'm Christian enough, so I probably wouldn't want to date a vampire and become old and then be like hot and young forever. I think I'm embarrassed to say, but, and this isn't really an iconic plus, like, there's not like, I think I'd date a skeleton that was alive. That sounded, nope, that skeleton was alive, I don't mean a human. I would date a enchanted skeleton. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Like an undead skeleton person.
All yep. right.
I don't want to explain myself or add more details.
Yeah,
but I know that it's the truth.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even want to add more detail. But that came from my heart and I didn't just make it up randomly. Yeah. Anyway, let's hear your topic.
I don't think I'd want to be friends with a zombie at all. Just skeleton
no.
reminded me of zombies.
I just saw Lisa Frankenstein and they seem like they smell real gross. I don't want anybody who smells gross. Skeletons have nothing on them. They're just bones, so they shouldn't smell gross.
That's
kind of
what I was thinking with the Wolfman, too.
Oh, yeah, they definitely smell gross.
Yeah.
You think, I'm sorry, oh, you think Frankenstein smells good, though? Nobody smells good but a vampire. And a skeleton. Smells like nothing, hopefully.
Well, speaking of all these monsters.
I want to date a skeleton wearing cologne. I'm sorry, what?
Now everybody, you can just imagine one of those Johnny Depp cologne commercials, but with a skeleton.
Yes, please. I can't wait to hear your segue, by the way.
Speaking of all these monsters, guys, it is the week before Halloween. And despite the icebreaker, I'm not talking about monsters or blood or guts or anything like that. This week, I'm talking about something that we all know and love, something that we see each year. And we go, ooh, it's time.
Oh, I want to guess. Oh.
I'm going to keep going a little bit. I'll let you. Many of you know that I live in northeastern Pennsylvania right now, but I didn't always live in northeastern Pennsylvania. Each time someone mistakes me for a lifelong local, I die a little bit inside. I'm originally from southern New Jersey, where there are several variations on towns having the root Egg Harbor, because when people came ashore, they saw eggs that birds left along the coast, and so they called it Egg Harbor. Anyway, you got Egg Harbor City, Little Egg Harbor, and the home of one of America's Halloweeniest things, Egg Harbor Township. Now, Marissa, would you like to make a guess?
Wait, you made it sound like Egg Harbor Township is the Halloweeniest thing. I got confused.
Oh, no. That's the home of one of America's Halloweeniest things.
Shit. Shit. I don't know.
The home of Spencer Gifts, LLC, which operates two arms of business, Spencer's and Spirit Halloween.
And do you know they're going to have a Christmas store now?
Yeah.
Spirit Christmas? Yeah, okay. I didn't know Spencer's own Spirit. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think it's probably the only reason Spencer's is still around.
Yeah, probably.
So, Spirit Halloween stores always fascinated me because they seem so niche. Like, you don't see a 4th of July shop pop up. But you could, I think, if you got some America clothes, some America decorations, fireworks, and a grill or something, then you could make a store that just sold 4th of July stuff.
A store I would not want to go to.
Right, but Aaron would love it.
Yeah, I know. Now, because, never mind, I'm not even going to defend that. Yes, he would, unfortunately.
Not for political reasons.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Yeah.
But they don't do that. Instead, Walmart or whatever department store sells these items, and they'll have like a section of the store and everything, but they don't open a completely separate store.
Yeah.
And these department stores do the same thing for Halloween, but why does Halloween get its own store? Maybe by the end of this episode, Marissa will have an idea.
Okay. Well, educate me.
I know you probably have an idea now, but still. Bloomberg, the publication, reveals a little history for us, okay? In 1983, which is the year that I was born, Joe Marver opened his first Halloween store in Castro Valley, California.
Okay.
Don't want to get anybody confused. He put his regular stock of women's apparel into storage, and he stocked his aisles with wigs, makeup, and Batman masks. Like, more than just Batman masks, but they're just what they're using.
Yeah, I was going to say that's insane.
The costumes.
You go to the store and spend Batman masks, I would think.
There's only three aisles. One's wigs, one's makeup, and the other is all Batman masks.
That seems terrifying.
The costumes sold fast, so next year he doubled down on the concept, and he leased an out-of-the-way space in a nearby shopping mall and set up what is now known as a pop-up shop. Marver didn't have any special love for October 31st, exactly. He was a self-described maniac for the business.
Oh, okay. That's not something to be proud of.
He called his stores Spirit Halloween as a riff on the original store where he sold women's apparel, which was called Spirit Women's Discount Apparel.
Oh, okay.
And he expanded throughout California and much of the Southwest. By the time he sold off the idea in 1999, he had opened 60 stores. And it may have something to do with the limo drive from Manhattan, New York, to Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey. But I'm inclined to think that it was a big fat check that made him sell the business to Spencer's.
Yeah, I would assume so.
When Spencer's took over, they weren't exactly nailing it either. By 1999, they'd been bought by the Seagram Company. Yes, the ginger ale people.
Interesting.
And they were handed over a few more times before being sold to Spencer's management in 2015. So as of 2015, Spencer's and Spirit Halloween fall under the Spencer Gifts umbrella.
Okay.
But I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm already in 2015. Between 1999 and 2006, Spirit ballooned from 63 stores to 434 stores across 46 states.
Shit, okay.
Now they have over 100...
What?
Why was I just going to say 100,000? Now they have... I know I should have put commas with these numbers. Now they have 1,450 stores in the U.S. and Canada.
Okay.
Another thing I learned along the way here was that Spencer's opened in the U.K. and shut it all down within 2 years.
That's funny.
So what I find interesting about Spirit Halloween isn't the store or the products, but to me, it's the absence of Spirit Halloween.
What do you mean by that?
The commercial real estate subreddit says that a lease for Spirit Halloween is probably a 2 to 3 month lease for a set amount of money. And as a younger person, I assumed that every lease had to be a whole entire year, but now I'm old and wise, so I know better.
Yeah, okay.
There's generally a deposit, and you pay for some temporary signage, and then the lease tends to run from mid-August to mid-November.
Okay.
The location obviously affects the rent price, but you have to wonder, how come some of them pop up in the same places so often? Like, you just need vacant retail space, but I've noticed that they pop up in the same retail space every year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, oh, you don't have an answer?
Well, my guess is that if you could keep your strip mall afloat based on the real retailers that you have for the rest of the year, then when Spirit Halloween comes along, they'll really help you in your fourth quarter. And they say that retail doesn't make any money until the fourth quarter anyway.
Oh,
but
okay.
If your other retailers were successful, then Spirit is just like the icing on the cake.
Yeah, okay.
So there is some benefit to maintaining the relationship. But, you know, like if a full-time retailer wanted to move in there, you're not going to turn them down because you're going to get a year's worth of rent out of them. Compared to, Spirit Halloween. Now, down in Egg Harbor Township, for example, there was once a Circuit City, and that was where I bought my first CDs as a young boy.
Okay.
And it closed many years ago. It's attached to the Shore Mall, which is now solely comprised of Boscov's, the DMV.
What a sad mall.
An outlet for furniture and, oh no, an outlet for restaurant stuff and a furniture store.
Okay.
No one is...
Restaurant outlet or whatever?
Yeah, it's some sort of thing. I don't...
Okay.
No one is ever taking the Circuit City spot. So it's Spirit's Halloween. So it is Spirit Halloween every year.
Yeah.
In the same place. Now, if you're following... which I presume you are, because this isn't really that complex. Joe Marver actually designed, in 1983, a business model that we're seeing at Spirit Halloween, which is a short-term lease that corresponds with the holiday season, the Halloween season. You take a space that is generally not profitable during that time, in his case, the dress store, which I would think the dress store would be profitable anyway. And you replace that stuff with seasonal things. You make big bucks in a short amount of time, and then you close up shop. Spirit Halloween is, at its core, a pop-up shop. But it's a pop-up shop that we can all generally go to. So it's exclusive and targeted. But like when Coke has a pop-up in New York City, we can't drop everything and just go there for some Coke.
Yeah, sadly.
When Warby Parker has a store that brings their website to life, that's cool, but I still can't go there to try on the glasses, so I don't care. But
is that how they frame their stores? We bring our website to life? Because if so, what the fuck?
No, I don't think they do.
Okay.
But Spirit Halloween comes to you, and that's what makes it great.
And we are sponsored by Spirit as of this episode. Our first sponsor, guys.
I listened to a podcast that no one must listen to, and they had ads at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
We should just pretend that people sponsor us, and then that'll make people think, oh, I should sponsor them too, and maybe they'll think,
oh, I should stop giving Patreon money.
And but then, yeah, people that don't want us to advertise find out, we'll probably get in trouble. So, yeah, I don't know.
Another absence that occurred to me was the absence of employment. Yes, I actually did have the thought, what do people who work at Spirit Halloween do the rest of the year?
Nothing. They just wait. They just wait with bated breath for Spirit Halloween to reopen.
If you ask it out loud, it's a very stupid question. But I'm not the only dummy out there. Unhappy Train 1000 asked the Spirit Halloween subreddit so that I didn't have to. And the answers aren't really that shocking. Some stay on to take things apart through November. But then after November, you know, you got to figure out something. Some are managers from Spencer's, and they go to Spirit for the season, and then they come back to Spencer's.
Oh, okay.
One person brags that they have a quote-unquote real job as a work-from-home graphic designer, if you count that as a real job.
Okay.
And they go, they just say they just work seasonally so they can make some extra money. Some people are in between jobs and they see a solid opportunity for a few months while they look for something else. Mm-hmm. And some people are also SAHPs.
SAHPs? Short? Seasonal? After Halloween.
I hate I hate it when people make up acronyms and assume that you're supposed to know what it means.
Yeah, what is it? I don't know.
Stay-at-home parents.
Oh, God! No! We're not doing this.
Most of them are students, college or high school, who are really just working a job so they can make a few extra dollars.
Okay.
I did look further than Reddit, though, since those were my two main sources so far. I found the Plainfield Prowler, a school newspaper for the Plainfield School District in Illinois. I grew fond of their source, who was a Spirit Halloween employee. So here are some of their responses about working there. When their source was asked about the interview process to get the job, they said, "They asked me all the basic employee questions. Why do you want to work at Spirit Halloween? And tell us about a time you experienced conflict. It was pretty much like a National Honor Society, but they cared a little less." Once I was done answering those questions, he, the interviewer, scribbled on the entire page, "Great answers." After that, he took me onto the store floor and asked one of the employees for a theme that I should put together a costume for. The employee chose Spartans. The manager said, "Without choosing a pre-made costume, make the best Spartan costume you can make."
Sounds so fun. I want to work there.
I came back with a small man. I don't know what that means. a large shield, a toga outfit, and a helmet. The helmet was broken, but the manager said that it was fine, and I was hired on the spot.
That's funny.
On the first day, I had to get there at 8:30 in the morning. We opened up shop, and the manager was complaining about why Spirit Halloween was even open that early. When he finished, he told me how things worked. Each morning, the store would be a mess because customers didn't know how to put things back. So he told me to clean up the floor and put things back where they belong. The first place they assigned me to clean up was the clearance section, which was probably the messiest of all sections. So I did my gosh darn best to clean that section, and I did it spectacularly. Then I cleaned up the hat section. My manager said to walk around and make sure customers are happy and offer assistance if they need it. I did that pretty much the rest of the day, until the last hour, when I had to stock some stuff. The interviewer asks, "What happens after Halloween?" Marissa, hang on to your seat.
Okay.
The whole store goes on sale the week after Halloween. Absolutely everything is 50% off. A few people come in.
Wait, for a whole week? I thought it was just a day.
Right, because many of them say that they close on the 2nd of November.
Yeah.
But this guy says the whole week. A few people come in and buy stuff. We were actually supposed to close, here we go, less than a week after Halloween, but we were pretty lazy about that.
That's funny.
The last time I worked was when we were closing and cleaning up the store. Also, that was the week I learned that my boss wasn't actually trained as a boss yet. So, to clean up, we take down everything but the stuff we sell, and we put it in a truck. People from the other stores come and help. It was actually kind of nice, even though I almost got crushed once or twice by the fake walls that we put up in the store. Oh. I almost twisted my ankle, too.
Okay.
What happens to the stuff that isn't sold? If we find any items, we can just take them home.
I'm sorry. What do you mean? Aren't there like billions of items that weren't sold?
Yeah, I don't know where exactly he's finding these items, but he continues, "There was quite a bit left, actually. I didn't want most of it, but I did get a zombie head, two canes, a police hat, some police sunglasses, lion ears for my dog, and a rice cap," which...
What?
...isn't cool.
Wait, what's a rice cap? Is that... It's not something ethnic, is it?
It is.
Okay, I know what that is. I don't like that. Okay. Guys, this time next year I might be working at Spirit Halloween. did not know that. I need to work there.
Anything left gets sent to a warehouse somewhere.
Wait. Okay. So, you sell stuff, any stock in the store that didn't sell is up for grabs, and then if you don't want it, they bring it to a warehouse? Is that what I'm understanding?
I mean, that's the way he explains it. But I'm wondering if there's, like, a section where maybe there's, like, opened items or, like, slightly used.
Yeah, that sounds too good to be true. I feel like him saying anything left is up for grabs. Yeah, I feel like anything left, there's probably something else.
Like, once we pack the trucks with everything that's packaged,
then
anything that's left, that sort of thing.
Yeah, okay.
But we don't know for sure. You'll have to work there, Marissa, to let us know.
Oh, man, yeah.
He also adds that everyone should donate to Spirit of Children. With the money donated, Spirit Halloween sets up parties for sick kids.
Aw, that's nice.
It's a good cause. If you donate $5, you get to ring a bell in the store.
Yeah, we've done that. I don't donate to anyone, but Aaron always does and judges me for not. But I just assume they may. I always assume all charities are fake. Anyway, continue.
In 2006, Spirit launched the program called Spirit of Children, which is an odd name.
Sounds like they're dead children.
Yeah. So they launched it to raise money for raise money in store for children's hospitals. The program annually celebrates Halloween at hospital locations, supplying costumes and decorations for the events. Since 2007, Spirit of Children has raised over $127 million in donations to support the efforts of, now get this, because I like this, child life specialists who provide therapeutic and emotional healing to young patients while doctors and nurses focus on medical treatment.
Hmm, okay.
I like how specific it is.
That's where the money goes for party and that? Parties and that?
Yeah.
Is that what I just understood?
Mm-hmm. And it used to be with
I like that too.
It used to be with a few hospitals, but now it's like a lot of hospitals.
That's cool.
Another employee of Spirit Halloween filed their experience, but they did it with Slate.
Okay.
And theirs is not as charming. It's one of the pitfalls. One of the pitfalls of seasonal work. Spirit Halloween is only there for a few months of the year, and because of that, I think our patrons don't quite have the same respect for employees as they would at a Target or a Walmart.
Oh.
Where they're definitely well respected.
I mean,
people go really feral when they walk in our doors.
Wait, this is what the article says?
Yes.
Aw, man.
A lot of people at Spirit have had similar experiences. I heard a rumor that another store in our area had to be shut down for the day after inspectors noticed that the boxes, this person had previously complained about having so many boxes all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you just need a bigger space. I don't know. But inspectors noticed that these boxes were blocking the emergency exits. There's a lot of material in the store. In my first 2 weeks, when customers asked me if we had a certain costume in stock, this is bad because everybody suspects that this is exactly what happens. When somebody asked me if a certain costume was in stock, I'd say, I'll go check the back for you. And then I just stand there in the back without knowing what to do. There was like no room to look through anything, nowhere to hang anything up. It's just a mess back there.
I mean, honestly, they should just say whatever's out is what we have. That's an easier way to do that.
Yeah.
But sure.
The job. Now, guys, remember for a moment that Marissa's husband is a heart doctor.
Okay.
The article goes on, this job is way too stressful, man. I'm looking forward to seeing the back of this place. A few weeks ago, I actually started crying in front of my district manager because of how overwhelmed I felt. She told me that this will probably be the hardest job I'll ever have. And God, I hope she's right.
Wait, was this person a manager or just a...
Just a worker. Oh, wait, no. She interviewed for a regular job, like a sales associate.
Mm-hmm.
But they thought that since she was so well put together that they made her an assistant manager.
See, I was going to say, I mean, I'm sure it's stressful for everyone.
Oh,
but
and she had no retail experience at all.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I was going to say, I bet it's stressful for everyone, but I would say probably the managers are the worst ones. Like, they probably have it the worst, so.
Yeah.
Because the first person was just a regular.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you couldn't pay me to be a manager of any store, let alone a spirit Halloween.
Well, capitalism being capitalism and everything, Spirit had to eventually overstep. They have now opened 10 Spirit Christmas locations this year. You have to get that magic right, and I don't know if animatronic elves will garner different reactions than an animatronic ghoul.
You know what? I could be wrong, but I... So, Spirit Halloween is a fun store. Besides the fact that I like Halloween, it's like an experience. Like, it's like a poor man's haunted house, because they usually have so many animatronic things, and some spirits even have, like, a little walkthrough thing with animatronics. But it's just, like, fun to go to. Like, I'm not, like... that doesn't seem like it translates to Christmas. Like, people just go to, like, look at spooky things, and I just... I don't know. I just don't think it's the same for Christmas. That's
yeah,
all.
And whether it's a ghoul or an elf, like with an animatronic thing, you get close, it moves, you jump, and that's the end of it.
Well, yeah, no one, people like, I actually like being like spooked out at the Spirit of Halloween animatronics. No one's yearning for Christmas spook.
Right. Yeah. Or like an elf. I don't mean to keep saying elf. Like if a snowman reaches out and hugs you, that's scary.
Yeah, like exactly. No one's going to get scared for Christmas, but also no one's like, oh, we gotta go to Spirit Christmas. I'm yearning for some holiday magic.
Not yet.
Like, I don't know. It just seems like a very stupid idea.
Spirit Christmas takes on another thing that has gotten lost with the closing of malls, Santa photos. Except here, you can book your appointments and skip the line. And that's pretty much all that the website offers so far to let you know. But it also invites you to discover thousands of stocking stuffers, holiday apparel, fun gifts, unique decor, plus all the special trimmings for creating an unforgettable Christmas.
Does it say when it opens? Because I can't imagine how fucking insane it's going to be to flip over from Halloween to Christmas.
Oh, different stores.
Oh, so it's not going to turn from... Oh, thank God, because those poor people.
Yeah. Okay. There is one in Mays Landing, New Jersey, which I saw from a distance, and that has moved into an old Christmas tree shop.
That's cruel.
Yeah, it is.
My Christmas tree shop is at Spirit Halloween, so I don't think we're getting it.
Yeah. I forget where the Spirit Halloween is, but I think it's like around the corner. I just don't know what empty space it's in.
Guys, I really miss Christmas tree shops.
Yeah, it was a good store.
I know. Are there any in PA? You don't need to know that offhand.
Not close to you.
Okay. Boo.
Not to tease you, but...
Boo, even though I was just like, nobody needs that. But if it's there, I'd go.
Anywhere that sells costumes is, of course, prone to controversy. So Spirit Halloween has had its share.
Considering how you said that hat that I think I know, but I don't even want to say what I think it is. No question there.
In October of 2016, a store in Nebraska removed Native American costumes after its state's Indian community said that they were disrespectful of their culture. However, the corporate office ordered the costumes to be put back on the shelves, prompting wider debate on cultural appropriation. You might also remember that here in 2024, Spirit Halloween was criticized over a bullet belt placed in a prep school costume section.
Wait. What?
So you know how, like, Rambo wears, like, a thing with a bunch of bullets on it?
Yeah,
somebody in a store put it in the prep school costume section, which then made it look like you were selling a school shooter costume.
Wait, but, like...
I don't know why there's a prep school costume section, though.
No, but I mean a random person or, like, the workers put it there.
That's the thing. It's a little hard to tell. I would imagine that if there was, like, a rack full of them... Then clearly it was the store.
Yeah.
But, you know, people love freaking out about stuff. So I also wouldn't be surprised if it was just like, some random teen just threw it over there and somebody else took a picture and then it was the end of.
Yeah. Once someone sent me something saying that Forever 21 was selling swastika earrings and it was so clear that someone put a swastika earring on a shelf. And I was like, what? So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Which means the person who took the picture.
I don't even know.
Bored Panda also compiled a list of 18 racist things at Spirit Halloween based on a viral tweet by River Robbie in 2021. River Robbie on X. But I mean, a lot of it wasn't really that racist. Like, he had Afro wigs on there, and some white people do have big curly hair.
Yeah, unless the name of the product was real weird.
Right.
I don't think a type of hair
like
in and
black
of
man hair. That would be that would be offensive.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a type of hair in and of itself doesn't make it racist. But yeah, like I said, depending on what it's marketed as.
And to your point, Marissa, they could have written fortune teller instead of gypsy on the costume, and then I think they would have saved face a little bit.
Oh, they are sloppy.
And by the way, if I want to be a taco for Halloween, does that mean I'm racist? Can I only be, what, white American cheese for Halloween?
No, I think you can be a taco as long as it's a taco that's not wearing a mustache and a sombrero.
I think it had a mustache.
Yeah, I think just be a taco. It doesn't need a mustache.
Somehow they labeled a sheriff costume as racist.
What?
And maybe it's because the sheriff model was black? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, if it was... I feel like it all depends on what it says on it, because they have wild.
It just said sheriff.
Yeah. No, I don't.
And it was it was the glasses, the badge, and I think like the shirt.
No, I don't think that's a problem.
Now the rabbi costume is tacky, but if you're going to discontinue the rabbi costume, then I think you should also discontinue the priests and the nuns, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this guy who posted these pictures, he thinks that a head wrap for a flapper is offensive because he thinks that it's a turban.
Wait, what? Okay, this person seems really fucking annoying.
Yeah, I think it was like, oh, my first one got some traction, so I better, keep posting things.
I hate that shit, because if shit's cultural appropriation, like, spot on, or not, I'm sorry. If it's racist, like, call that shit out immediately. But then when you get sloppy,
it ruins the credibility of the complaint at all.
Exactly. So, like, fuck yourself, person, for you to, like, not even know what you're saying is racist.
So, of course.
You become the problem then, in a way.
Yeah, yeah. You become, I'm so sorry to say, I think they might sell a costume of it. You become a snowflake.
I'm sure there is.
So... the guy who took these pictures, you know, I think, like many people, seemed to like to feed controversy. But, like I said, any place that sells costumes is selling something that a customer would seek to parody or parade around in. So I think it kind of comes with the territory that you're going to get some accusations.
Yeah, yeah.
To end-ish, it's like an early ending. On a higher note, you may have seen the news over the past couple of years, of the Spirit Halloween movie. It's called Spirit Halloween, the movie.
Yeah, I know it exists. I've never looked into it.
They got Christopher Lloyd to be in it, mostly as a voice, but also physically as a land baron who gets cursed by a little girl and is bound to the place where he dies, which just happens to be where they open a Spirit Halloween store in the future.
Okay. Yeah.
But three boys who are on the cusp of high school don't know that when they sneak in to spend the night in Halloween Central.
I'm sorry, is the summary of the film, does that say three boys on the cusp of high school?
No, I wrote that because that's what they talk about most of the movie. Like one kid's like, we're too old for this. And the other one's but we're going to be in high school next year.
Okay.
So Christopher Lloyd's ghost possesses various animatronic characters and decorations. And at one point, a teenage girl.
This sounds really boring.
Rachel Lee Cook is in it, too. It's kind of cute. And as a blessing from God, it's only 82 minutes long. Probably 80 minutes if you cut the production logos at the beginning.
Okay.
The film had an exclusive premiere of the trailer at the opening of Spirit Halloween's flagship store in Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey, on July 30th in 2022.
All right.
And it was accompanied by cast members Marissa Reyes, Donovan Colin, Dylan Martin Frankel, and Jaden J. Smith.
Are any of these people famous?
Well, they're all the leads in the movie.
That doesn't make them famous.
So circling back to the whole real estate aspect of Spirit Halloween, basically, the store starts coming to life, if you will, in January every year. But it's apparently hard work all year round. The senior director of real estate, Frank Passera, discussed the real estate process on the Kimco Realty Blogs podcast.
Ooh, that sounds like a real riveting listen.
And what blog is so successful that you're going to parlay it into the name of a podcast?
Yeah, I don't think anyone listens to it.
Pretty much November 1st, the minute our store is closed, before the door is closed, we are prepping for the next season, Passera said on the podcast. We literally are 12 months out of the year getting ready for this holiday. Right after we close our doors, we have a field operation of people who are based throughout the country, and they basically scout their entire markets that they're responsible for on a regular basis. These agents spend months negotiating deals. Months is in quotes. The typical store is...
That's funny.
The typical store is somewhere between 7 and 10,000 square feet, though some are smaller. In suburban areas, Spirit Halloween agents look for vacant real estate in shopping centers that have other, quote-unquote, national tenants, like Best Buys, Targets, or Walmarts.
Mm. Okay.
The main competitors of Spirit Halloween are Party City's Halloween City.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Which may go on, in some locations, may go on to become a toy city for Christmas.
Oh, God, I miss Toys R Us. That sounds stupid. I was in New York the other day, and there was a Spirit Halloween type
store. And I saw Jeffrey asking for money on the street.
No. There was a Spirit Halloween type store called Halloween Thrills! But something about it just made me feel like there were bed bugs.
Yeah. I was going to say, you'd get fleas from the costume.
Yeah.
So I feel like this was a report for an intro to business class. So thank you for your attention. Any questions?
No, but I wonder, I would love to work there if I knew they would never make me be on the register. And I wonder if I want to be like, I want to only work there the last month. I don't think I need that. Or can they just hire me for, like, breakdown? I want to be in on this, but I don't want to have to actually, like, work in retail. I have worked in retail, and boy, is that a shit show. But, yeah.
I think the kid from the Plainfield Prowler was the one who told a story, because he's, assuming it's a he, they are proudly unqualified, and they say it dozens of times. But there was a story about how he had never worked the register before.
Yeah.
And the assistant manager, the manager did. And they needed to go do something because the phone rang. And so they were like, you, get on the register. And right when he got on the register, people came up to be checked out.
Oh, no.
Absolutely no idea what to do. So he just fumbled around until the manager came back. And the kid said, sorry about that. And the manager was like, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
See, I would want to work there if I was held to that standard. But they would, like, I would have to, like, fake my resume. Because they would be like, MFA, you're the manager. And I'd be like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, people often talk about, you know, lies that people add to a resume. I wonder how many people leave things off so they can get the job.
Yeah. Yeah,
but Marissa, this is how I also, the research for this is also how I discovered that Spencer's is looking for a junior content writer.
But it's sadly in person, isn't it?
It is. Which is surprising to me.
Yeah, like, I don't, there's like a, people are going hard on bringing people back. This is a whole other topic, which I'll cut myself off, but I just saw an article that Amazon corporate is making everyone come in 5 days a week. So... cool beans. Anyway.
But I think, like, if you find, I guess it's hard to, But if you find the right person who's self-motivated and takes it seriously, like you would be for a Spencer's or a Spirit Halloween. Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Right. You'd be excited to clock in at 9 from home. But maybe you have to be in person because you have to, like, play with the stuff or something.
I don't know. But if you listen to this podcast and you are hiring for someone who needs a copywriter, especially for something spooky or pop culture, you call us at 570-POD-WAD-1 because I'm looking.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, sorry. Was there more?
Nope.
Or are you done?
Plugs. You got anything you want to plug for the upcoming spooky holiday?
Ooh, do I? Shit. You want to go first? I got to think.
Marissa, do you have Peacock? Do you have access to Peacock?
I do have Peacock. Someone gives me their Peacock.
You got to watch this show, Hysteria.
Oh, and not to keep bragging how I was in New York, but there were like a billion billboards for it. And I was like, what the fuck is this? I've never even heard of this.
Yeah, it kind of just, I hadn't heard anything about it either, but it's a show that is sort of poking fun at the Satanic Panic, which I know you like.
Oh!
It's about three kids who are in a, like three high school kids who are in a band and they're not cool, which I also figured you would like.
Yeah.
And basically what they do is they take the Satanic Panic and parlay it into a gimmick for their band. But then once their band becomes successful and popular, people start looking at them like they're really Satanists.
Whoa! That sounds fun.
And is it Julie Bowen?
Ooh, from Modern Family?
Yeah, right. She's one of the parents. And I think she's doing a great job with the role. Very notable.
I love her very much. So, I mean, this sounds fun.
Yeah. I'm watching it, and I'm like, Marissa's got to get in on this. And then I thought, like, I'm watching far enough ahead that I could give you, but I don't think there's anything that I would have to Beautiful. Warn you about. You. So I'll keep Thank watching you. To possibly provide that if necessary. But
well,
I also like Teacup, which is another show that Peacock seemed to premiere for the season. And it's like spooky and creepy and isolating. But it's a completely different vein than Hysteria.
Since time is limited before Halloween, and there's probably only so much I can get in. I think I'll try and watch Hysteria this week. Before I plug a Halloween movie, I want to say that if you heard my Marissa reviews, I was watching Grotesquery, which is so gory, and I don't know how I manage it. And I was like, I need to know where the story goes, but it is, like, too gory. And it's like, I'm on edge, because it's like every episode's trying to top itself. Yeah. So I started watching it just fast-forwarding, also because it got really boring. Because, one, I wanted to see what the fuck Travis Kelce did in it, which is insane. And, two, I was looking at the Reddit and people had these like theories and I was like, that would be so fucking stupid. And they were all right. I'm going to spoiler alert. Pete, you're not going to watch Grotesque 3, are you?
No.
You shouldn't. Well, spoiler alert. She's in a coma and none of it's real.
Oh, God.
I mean, granted, the show's not over.
Who is? Niecy Nash?
Yeah. So, Niecy
Nash, she just dreamed up a nun?
So, then all these people who she dreams actually have different roles in her life. So, the nun is actually
the Cowardly Lion.
Actually.
Her husband is the Tin Man.
It's her boss at the cop place. Yep, that's what you call it.
At the cop station.
She's her boss. But I don't know. The movie's not done. The show's not done. The last episode, just she woke up from the coma and you realize the nun is not a nun and all that. So that was really stupid. Ryan Murphy.
And then alas, and they just cut her up into pieces and you just get to watch that whole episode.
Yeah, I have like no idea where it's going, but it's stupid and I don't recommend it. Cause like I said, I started watching it by fast forwarding. Mm-hmm. But my actual plug is, Which, by the way, I'm not plugging my own shit, because if you try and get my own shit the Friday before Halloween, I'm not sending it to you for a week. Because what are you doing? I'm going to plug the movie Totally Killer, which actually has Julie Bowen in it, too, and she plays mm-hmm. someone's mother. It is a very fun horror comedy. I think it's on Amazon Prime now, and it stars... not going to know her name, so it doesn't matter. Stars are very adorable Bond actress. But it's very funny. This year I'm into funny Halloween stuff. Man, Pete knocked it out of the park.
Kiernan Shipka.
Yeah, Kiernan Shipka. Love her. Pete knocked it out of the park.
Oh, right. We couldn't think of her name in the last episode either.
Yeah, it's a hard name.
Yeah, that was a fun movie.
But I'll say, Pete knocked it out of the park in a way I'm sure he never anticipated by saying that me and Aaron should watch Hubie Halloween, which I started watching and I was like, what the fuck is, why is his voice like that? But then it was so stupid that I looked past what a dumb voice Adam Sandler was using. And my husband likes Adam Sandler to a degree that upsets me, but it's okay because I don't care. So, yeah, that movie brought us together for the Halloween season in a way I never was prepared for.
Like, at the time when The Waterboy came out, socially, people were okay laughing at this slow man. But then when Hubie Halloween came around, you were like, is he tone deaf? Or is this guy not mentally challenged?
Yeah, I chose to
and
believe...
And if he's not, then what is wrong with him?
Yeah, I chose to believe he wasn't mentally challenged. He just had a weird voice that I couldn't understand why. Because, yeah, I was like, we don't do that anymore. So my mind didn't even go there. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, assuming I'm deciding that he wasn't portraying a developmentally challenged person, I liked it. If he was, what's happening?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Constant... It's a great movie for debate.
Yeah.
Speaking of debate, Marissa, tell people how they can get in touch with us.
You can get in touch with us and preferably not debate us, but I guess if you want to, call us at 570-POD-WAD-1, or you can email us at...
dullherdpod@gmail.com.
And, as always, you can slide into my DMs at wristvandal on Instagram, and you could get on our you can subscribe to our Patreon at
patreon.com/y'allheard, where you'll hear me ruin the movie The Front Room.
Yeah, that was fun. I took a little while, but I just listened to it the other day and that was ridiculous and upsetting.
I think The Strangers chapter one, if that's what it's called, I think that's coming to streaming soon.
The one with the girl from Riverdale?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you can go back in the archives and listen to me ruin that one, too.
That is unfortunate. Because I feel like she's better than that.
Don't worry, she'll be in, too.
God, okay. Guys, thank you for listening. This is our last... Well, we're doing an extra episode for Halloween. Because we do them every other week, but I fucked up. And did a very unscary October episode.
Sperm is scary, I told you.
So we're going to make up for it by doing a kind of fun, more loose and silly episode for Halloween week. But so look out for that, an extra episode this month.
And to get you excited about it, Marissa and I will have to debate things. And really our will is the only thing that will help us win. Because... normally, when you debate something, you have a third person who can break the tie.
Yeah, and it's just going to be us. No one will be there.
Yeah.
And I have very strong opinions that are controversial. So, yeah, watch out for that. Yeah, guys, so stay safe out there, and bye!
Bye, everybody. Boo, everybody.
Oh! Yeah. Hi.